You're listening to a message from Canby Foursquare Church in Canby, Oregon. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Visit canbyfoursquare.com to learn more.
I get on I-5, get on 205, and it's like, where are all these cars coming from? And I'm one of the cars. But I'm thankful that we live in Canby because we don't have to fight the traffic as much as you do in L.A. So I'm very thankful for that. So this morning, we're going to be in the book of Philippians again, and our theme is confident that we have a relationship, that he has a relationship with us, that Jesus Christ wants a relationship with us. That is amazing in itself. The creator of the universe desires passionately to have a relationship with me. And Paul is talking about his relationship with Jesus. Philippians is essentially a thank you letter to the church in Philippi. It's one of those books where it's not just instruction and it's not just a journal writing. It's really a thank you note to this church that he planted in Philippi. He's thanking these friends, really, these beloved friends that he had in Philippi. He's thanking them for their generosity. Generosity of giving. Generosity of friendship. Generosity of hospitality. So he's thanking them for their generosity. He's encouraging them in this thank you letter. He's saying, keep up the good work. You're doing so well. Keep it up. You're doing a great job. So I want to start off by reading, and I'm kind of lower? Okay. I want to start off by reading verse 12 through 27 of Philippians chapter 1. So here we go. And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I'm in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. It's true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me, for they know I have been appointed to defend the good news. Those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely, intending to make my chains more painful to me. But that doesn't matter. Whether their motives are false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached either way, so I rejoice. And I will continue to rejoice, for I know that as you pray for me and the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. I long to go to be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sakes, it is better that I continue to live. Knowing this, I am convinced that I will remain alive so I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. And when I come to you again, you will have even more reason to take pride in Christ Jesus because of what he is doing through me. Paul, man, do I ever want to be more like Paul? You know, we can't predict our future circumstances. We want to, especially now, I want to predict what's going to happen 6 months from now or a year from now. You know, I would really love to predict that. But we can predict our future responses. And I think that is where I really want to learn how to do that better. Because I'm going to speak for myself. I can predict my future responses, but they're not always the response that's going to bring glory to the Lord. There's this photo that I found on Instagram, and I thought it was just so, I mean, I think I can relate to this, because without words, we can communicate our responses as well. While on Zoom, I received a message from the host. While I appreciate you staying muted, we can see exactly what you're thinking based on your facial expressions. So I'm going to ask you to turn off your video as well. Thank you. I don't know how to not be this person. And I'm, you know, it's a struggle. I know. But there are some practices, there are some disciplines that I'm trying to put into my own life so that my future response can glorify God. Because again, like I said, I can predict my future responses. I have said, if this happens to me again, if this is going to happen to me again, my future response is either going to be mad, sad, disappointed, whatever. But I can do that. I have predicted my future response, and it hasn't been good. Or I've said, if that person says that to me again, this is what I'm going to say. And so it's not always a good thing. And I want to be more like Paul. We live among heroes here. I know some people in our own community that I look at who have lived and are living with what would be considered very difficult, highly unfavorable circumstances, and yet they have chosen joy. I think of Lynn Tidwell, who passed away a few years ago, but she lived with knowing that her life wasn't long for this earth, but she always looked to heaven. She understood what it meant to have that relationship with Jesus Christ, and that joy was not robbed from her. I think of Pat Villis, who lives with joy. You would never suspect or know that she's lived her adult life without sight, and she is so thankful, so joyful. So we live among heroes that we can watch, we can model their mentors who have chosen joy. Paul made decisions for his future. He said, I will rejoice. I know that I will be delivered. In nothing, I will not be ashamed. And Christ will be magnified. He chose joy. He chose confidence. He chose hope. He chose life. And Paul was determined to have joy. Paul recites the things in his writings that had happened to him in the past. I've been arrested. I've been falsely accused. I've been in jail more times than I can count now. And now he's under house arrest. And he doesn't know how the winds of justice are going to blow concerning the Roman justice department, the Roman Justice Service. He was going to stand before Nero, and he will either be exonerated or exterminated. Paul doesn't know which one. But he's fully aware of the possibilities. And besides that, now there's these anti-Paul cranky Christians around him who are glad that he's in chains so that they can promote themselves. Yet, he makes decisions to choose joy. In the message, I'd love to read how it says what Paul's responses are. It starts out by saying, so how am I to respond? Paul's saying, I've decided that I really don't care about their motives, whether they're mixed or bad or indifferent. Christ is going to be proclaimed, so I just cheer them on. And I'm going to keep that celebration going because I know how it's going to turn out. It's through your faithful prayers. It's through the Holy Spirit. Everything he wants to do in me and through me will be done. He is predicting his future in these responses. I can hardly wait to continue my course. I don't expect to be embarrassed. Regardless of whether I live or die, I'm his prize. I can't lose. I love Paul's attitude. Paul clearly understood the difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is externally triggered. It's the circumstances that we're in. If something good happens, then I'm happy. If something doesn't happen, then I'm not happy. And so he understands the difference between happiness and joy. And honestly, Paul probably did have unhappy feelings. I mean, he's human. He's just like you and I. He wasn't above that. He was confined. He was in house arrest. He couldn't go out. He couldn't go to these people that he loved. They couldn't come to him. He was subject to what people brought him to eat or what they gave him to eat. There were a lot of circumstances in his life that he probably had unhappy feelings. But he chose joy. How do you do that? I mean, I lived for many years. I was an expert at manufactured joy. I could pretend I was joyful. I could put on the best show for my family. We'd get together and I would make sure that I would drum up as much joy as I could possibly do. But inside, deep in my soul, I was unhappy. I was unhappy because of the circumstances in my life. Unhappy because of what was happening with one child or another, or what was happening in other areas of my life. It wasn't until it was like, God, I can't live like this anymore. I need your joy. Can I really have joy in the midst of all of this? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes. Joy is internally triggered. It is a fixed deep down, soul deep understanding of who Jesus Christ is. What he's done for me, how he provides for me, how he's with me, what he does in me and through me. And it's when I keep my eyes on him, I can have true joy. The other thing that Paul was determined to have was confidence. Confidence is a statement of faith. He's basically saying, there has never been the slightest doubt in my mind that God was going to see me through. I never doubted that God was going to see me through. God will work it out. He will see me through. He is able. He is faithful. God is just. He's eternal. He's true. I don't have the slightest doubt in that. And that's where that joy stays in my life. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For we know, it's in his word. He is a true and faithful God. Paul had confidence in prayer. His confidence came through prayer. And I know that that's true in my life. Confidence comes as I spend time communicating with the Lord. Prayer works. I'm here to tell you, prayer works. Prayer matters. Prayer changes circumstances, and prayer changes me. When I pray, I take my eyes off myself, take my eyes off my circumstances, my emotions, my concerns, and I get to give them to God. Cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. You keep praying, and God keeps providing. And I'm here to tell you, I have seen God move through my prayers. Paul had confidence also in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We need the Holy Spirit. We will always come to the end of ourselves, and at that point we cry out, come, Holy Spirit. We prayed that this morning. Holy Spirit, come. You have permission today. Holy Spirit, use me, speak through me, guide me, direct me, fill me with your joy, remind me of who I am in you. Holy Spirit, come. He lavishly supplies all that we need. Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So how do we live our lives with joy and confidence as Paul did? One is we look higher. Stop looking at everything around us and all the things that we wish would change. We look higher to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords. We look higher. We look to the needs and the welfare of others. We recall his faithfulness and we recite our gratefulness to him. That's how we cultivate joy and confidence in our life. The other thing, Paul was determined to have hope. Hope looks for opportunities to point to Christ. Paul says, I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, and I will trust my life will bring honor to Christ. He was determined to have hope. Even in prison, awaiting sentencing from Caesar, he was in the center of God's plan. My hope is not based on me getting out of jail. I have hope exactly where I am because God is using me right now, right here. So can I look at challenges and see them as opportunities? In the midst of COVID, masks, and mandates, can I choose to bring honor to Jesus Christ? Yes, but it's my response. It's my attitude. It's the way I look at these things. But I can do it. And how do we do this? One is we don't sweat the small stuff. Because honestly, these are relatively small in the scheme of life. We look higher. I'm going to keep saying that. We keep looking higher because God is good. And remember that it's not about me. It's not all about me. We magnify Jesus. Bring Jesus closer. Bring Jesus closer with your story. It's not just ancient history. It's what he's doing today. It's what he's teaching me today. It's where he's leading me today. It's how he's letting me see things today. And we don't overlook those daily faithful things that Jesus is doing in us. His provision, his care, his comfort. Bring Jesus closer by magnifying him. And lastly, Paul was determined to have life. One way or another, Paul knew he would live. For to me is Christ, and dying is even better. He says, I'm willing to break camp here, and I'm willing to go see Jesus because I would love to do that. It would be so great. I'm willing to set sail. But, he says, but if God wants to keep me here longer, I'm willing to do that for your sake. It wasn't a death wish. It wasn't like, I just wish I would die. He was like, boy, you know what? Either way, whatever happens to me, I'm going to live. He was facing facts that he knew with confidence that being in the very presence of Jesus would be better, but he was willing to do what God had called him to do, where he was in the circumstances that he was facing. If we try to put anything in place of Christ in that statement, if we were to put, for me to live is, fill in the blank. For me to live is wealth. For me to live is fame. For me to live is power, for me to live is health, for me to live is my family. Well, when you die, all of those are losses. So the only thing that is a gain is for me to live is Christ. When we establish that, for me to live is you, Jesus. And dying is only a gain. Paul is saying, I can't lose. I just can't lose. Paul lived to promote Christ, and he kept pointing to Christ. And truth be told, Paul did get out of that house arrest. But a couple years later, he was again in prison. He was in a prison in Rome, which was now not as good as his house arrest as it was. He was in a hole in the ground, and most prisoners in that situation, in that place, which was called Mamertine Prison, died of starvation. Paul came to the end by being beheaded. He chose life. He chose life with Jesus. We can choose. We can choose joy. We can choose confidence. We can choose hope. We can choose life. We can't predict our future circumstances, but we can predict our future responses. But you know what? We can predict the future in this. We can predict where we're going to be in the future. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I live eternity with him. In 1 Corinthians it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. That's our future. That's knowing where we're going to be when we put our trust in Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:7 says, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. We have a priceless inheritance. This morning, before we leave this morning, I really want to give an opportunity for anyone here, anyone online today, or if you're listening to this a week later, you have an opportunity to predict your future with Jesus Christ. It's saying yes to Jesus. It is accepting Jesus into our life. It's saying, Lord, I want you to be Savior. I'm going to give up my rights in order to choose life, give up my life in order to really have life. I'm going to choose joy in serving you. So this morning, I'd like you to pray with me a prayer of salvation. And anyone who prays along with this and you mean it and you want this, believe me, you have just predicted your future with Jesus Christ. So let's pray that. Father, thank you that you are a God who cares. Jesus, we could predict our future with you. So today we believe in our hearts and we confess with our mouth that you are Lord, that you died, you rose, and you live today. We can live eternally with you. In your precious name, amen. Would you stand with me this morning? God is good, and he's good all the time. Regardless of the circumstances, we can choose joy. Would you partner with me in practicing those disciplines of looking higher and really saying, I can do this. I can do this to where I'm going to glorify the Lord in everything that I say and do. So be blessed today. Enjoy your day. You are dismissed.
Thank you for listening. Please let us know if you have questions or would like us to pray with you. You can contact the church office most weekdays at 503-266-4444 and anytime through canbyfoursquare.com.